Father, thank you so much for the honor to be here at Creighton, and my fellow honorees and faculty and guests, and most of all, the class of 2006, congratulations, you have finally made it. I've been asked several times today, wherever I travel in the country, about my favorite Meet the Press story and the proud 59-year tradition of the world's longest-running television program. It was actually in 1992, there was a gentleman by the name of Ross Perot running for president of the United States. Excuse me. And he was ahead of Bill Clinton and George Herbert Walker in the polls. He came on Meet the Press and said he was going to balance the budget without breaking a sweat. I said, Mr. Perot, you've identified the problem. What's your solution? He said, well, I'm going to go under the hood. I said, well, take me under the hood with you. What taxes are you going to deal with? What programs are you going to deal with? How are you going to get this money? He said, now then, if I knew you were going to ask me these trick questions, I wouldn't have been on your program. So he got rather feisty, and I had to catch a flight to New York after the interview, and the flight attendant ran down the aisle, and she said, what did you think of that Ross Perot? I said, ma'am, I never comment about my guests or their position on the issues. I leave that to you as a viewer, as a voter, as a flight attendant. What did you think of Ross Perot? She said, he strikes me as the kind of guy that would never return his tray table to the upright position. Life in Washington can be very difficult. There was once another President Bush who was having a difficult time in the polls. His chief of staff was John Sununu. He approached the revered and feared First Lady Barbara Bush and said, Barbara, I need your wisdom, your guidance, your counsel, your help. Why is it that everyone seems to take such an instant dislike to me? She looked at him and said, because it saves time, John. He resigned 6 weeks later. That was the... Before you can move on to the next phase of your lives, you must undergo the last grueling hurdle here in your career at Creighton, the commencement address. Let me be honest with you about my experiences with commencement addresses. I've been through several of my own and sat through dozens and dozens of others, and I can't recall a single word or phrase from any of those informed, inspirational, and seemingly interminable speeches. So rather than presenting a scholarly treatise on campaign finance reform or corruption, I thought better of it. I guess I'm like that noted philosopher, Yogi Berra. I get it eventually. After Yogi had flunked his exam, his teacher came down the aisle, shook him, and said, don't you know anything? Yogi looked up and said, I don't even suspect anything. Yes, it's the same Yogi Berra who went into the pizzeria. The waiter said, you want your pizza cut in 6 or 8 slices? He said, 6, I can't eat 8. This is the second most humbling day of my life. The first was in 1985. I was granted an extraordinary opportunity, a private audience with the Holy Father, the late, great John Paul II. I'll never forget it. The door opened, and there was the Pope, dressed in white. He walked solemnly into the room, and it seemed as large as this hall. I was there to convince His Holiness it was in his interest to appear on the NBC Today program. But my thoughts quickly turned from Bryant Gumbel's career and NBC's ratings toward the prospect of salvation. As the Vicar of Christ approached me, you heard this tough, no-nonsense, hard-hitting moderator of Meet the Press begin our conversation by saying, bless me, Father. He took my arm and said, you are the man called Timothy from NBC. I said, I am your guy. They tell me you're a very important man. I said, Your Holiness, with all due and deep respect, there's only two of us in this room, and I'm certainly a most distant second. He put his hands on my shoulders, looked me in the eyes, smiled broadly, and said, right. Humility. It's not often you have a chance to meet and talk with people who share the same background and the same values. So let me skip the temptation of lecturing and take just a few minutes to have a conversation with the class of 06. Like each of you, my life changed forever on September 11, 2001 at 7:46 a.m. I don't think the English language yet includes the words we need to express our sorrow for what happened on that day when most of you were high school seniors. Only in our hearts can we give full and complete expression of our grief and the shocking sense of loss and the agony of seeing our nation so violated. Yet we learned much about ourselves that day, about the fragility of life, about our deep love for our country, and about our real heroes. I decided to write a book about my hero, my dad, Big Russ. He was a truck driver and a sanitation man. He worked 2 full-time jobs for more than 30 years, and he never complained. He's 82 years old today, and his glass is still 2/3 full. And that was after he experienced, in 10th grade, leaving high school, enlisting in the Army. His B-24 Liberator went down in World War II, and he nearly died. That was the story of his generation. He never graduated from high school, but he taught me more by the quiet eloquence of his hard work, his basic decency, his intense loyalty. He taught me the true lessons of life. And they were reinforced at school by the Sisters of Mercy, Sister Brunel. Sister Mary Lucille in 7th grade recognized that I was not doing what I should be doing, summoned me to the front of the room with one of these, saying, "Timothy, we need to find an alternative vehicle to channel your excessive energy." I realized I was in deep trouble, but she started a school newspaper, made me an editor, and sent me on my way. I fell in love with writing and journalism, and because of my work on that paper, I was admitted to Canisius High School, a Jesuit high school far on the other side of the city of Buffalo, largely doctors and lawyers' sons, not sanitation men. But I quickly embraced the Jesuit culture. The third day there, Father John Sturm, the prefect of discipline, put me against the lockers for some perceived indiscretion. I said, "Father, please, I'm new here. Don't you have any mercy?" He said, "Russert, mercy's for God. I deliver justice." Accountability. The response to the Big Russ book was enormous. I was stunned. I had received tens of thousands of letters and emails from daughters and sons who shared stories and lessons about their own dad. It was taken as an invitation to have a dialogue about the devotion and sacrifice that their fathers had made to their families and their communities and their countries, which I've now put into a new book called Wisdom of Our Fathers, Lessons and Letters from Daughters and Sons. As a young boy, I remember those lessons so vividly. I remember John Kennedy becoming president of the United States when I was just 10 years old and concluding his inaugural address saying, "With history the final judge of our deeds, let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking his blessing and his help, but knowing that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own." What is God's work here on earth? Understanding that, I believe, is the key to a meaningful life, the essence of our earthly existence. Creighton University endeavors to educate a new generation of leaders for the new millennium, men and women who will be capable of shaping a new century with vision and justice and charity, a sense of calling with a concern for the entire human family. I am the first person in my family to have the chance to go to college, John Carroll University, also a Jesuit school, where I received a superb education. And so too with you. You chose a school that was different, and you made that choice deliberately. The education you've received at Creighton isn't meant to be the same you could have received at scores of colleges, public or private, in Omaha, in Nebraska, or across the country. You've been given an education that says it's not enough to have a skill, not enough to have read all the books or know all the facts, that values really do matter. Creighton University, a Catholic university founded by the Jesuits, its only justification for existing is because it has a special mission, training young women and men to help shape and influence the moral tone and fiber of our nation and our society. And that now means that you have a special obligation and special responsibility. You've been blessed with extraordinary opportunities, and St. Luke tells us, "To whom much is given, much indeed is expected." Graduating from Creighton has given you incredible advantages over others in your generation. I, too, have heard the sometimes smug remarks about Catholic colleges. "You think you have it bad? You should try being a Buffalo Bills fan in Washington, D.C. I actually took Meet the Press to the Super Bowl a few years back. At the end of the program, I looked into the camera and I said, "And now it's in God's hands, and God is good, and God is just. Please, God, one time, go Bills." My colleague Tom Brokaw jumped up and said, "You Irish Catholics from South Buffalo are shameless. You can't pray on the public airwaves." I said, "You'll see the power of prayer, Brokaw." Well, I moped back from the stadium after the Dallas Cowboys slipped by the Bills 52-10. The first person I encountered, of course, was Brokaw, yelled across the room, "Hey, Russert, I guess God's a Southern Baptist." You have something others would give most anything for. You believe in something, in your God, in your country, in your family, in your school, in yourselves. The message our parents and grandparents and teachers repeated and repeated and tried so hard to instill in us, a belief if you worked hard and prepared and played fair, things really would be all right. And you know, after working for senators and governors and meeting popes and interviewing presidents, they're exactly right. It sure seems funny, the older I get, the smarter my mother and father seem to get. The values you've been taught, the struggles you've survived, the diploma you're about to receive have prepared you to compete with anybody, anywhere. People with backgrounds like yours and mine can and will and have made a difference. In Albania, a young girl lost her father at age 8, left home for India as a teenager, in her own words, to care for the unwanted, the lepers, people with AIDS, believing works of love are indeed works of peace. She became a living saint, Mother Teresa. In Poland was a young electrician named Lech Walesa, the son of a carpenter who transformed the nation from communism to democracy. In South Africa, Nelson Mandela, former President Nelson Mandela, a brave black man who worked his way through law school as a police officer and then spent 28 years in prison to make one central point. We indeed are all created equal. And on September 11th, at the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, it was our brother and sister police and fire and rescue workers who properly redefined modern-day heroism. All these men and women have one thing in common with you. Like the past, the future leaders of this state, of this country, this world, will not be born of the blood of kings and queens, but of the blood of immigrants and pioneers. It is now your turn. You will have the opportunity to be doctors and nurses and lawyers and bankers, accountants, social workers, soldiers, journalists, entrepreneurs, business people, teachers, and more. And in those professions, your contributions can be enormous. Saving lives, providing prosperity, recording history, preventing disease, training young minds. Your family, your Creighton education, and your values have prepared you for this day. Remember, it was your parents and grandparents who built this country, who defended this country, who brought you into this world and a chance to live the American dream. Will your generation do as much for your children? You know you must. Every generation is tested. Every generation given the opportunity to be the next greatest generation. And so, too, with the Creighton University graduates of 2006. You were born and educated to be players in this extraordinary blessing called life. Climb the ladder of success. Enjoy yourselves. You've earned it. It's the American way. But please do yourselves and this world one small favor. Remember the people struggling alongside you and below you, the people who haven't had the same opportunity, the same blessings, the same Creighton education. Children shot dead in the streets of America, 25% of our 8th graders not graduating from high school, 35 million adults in our country without a high school education. If we are serious about remaining the world's premier military, economic, and moral force in the world, we have no choice. We need all of our children contributing and prospering. We must teach our children. Thank you. We must teach our children. They are never, never entitled, but they are always, always loved. And we must do everything in our power to make sure our schools are meaningful, skills are learnable, jobs are available. No matter what profession you choose, you must try, even in the smallest way, to help the children of our country. No one has shown that generous spirit more than the Jesuit Volunteer Corps. No matter what your political philosophy, isn't there a child that you can tutor or mentor or coach or just help? Some are sick, some are lonely, some are uneducated. Most have little control over their fate. Give them a hand. Give them a chance. Give them their dignity. The best commencement speech I ever heard was all of 16 words. No exercise is better for the human heart than reaching down to lift up another person. That is your charge. That is your challenge. That is your opportunity. That is what I believe it means to be a member of the class of 2006 of Creighton University. For the good of all of us, please build a future we all can be proud of. You can do it, but please get busy. You only have 2,300 weeks before you'll be eligible for Social Security. Have a wonderful life. Take care of one another. Be careful tonight. And for the rest of your life, work hard, laugh often, and keep your honor. And all for that, go Jays.